Hello and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Medicine 3.0. Today's episode, as you can hear, will be in English again because we have a guest from Iceland, Stefan Olafsson. And within this podcast, we're going to talk about web-based education, specifically in physical therapy. Stefan, as a guest, as always, can you shortly introduce yourself and tell us a few words about yourself?
Well, I'm an Icelandic physical therapist, graduated in 1990 in Iceland, and I've always been very interested in training. Although after my graduation, I've taken manual therapy courses and graduations, and I started working as a regular physical therapist for a long time, specialized in sport injuries, teaching a lot for the Icelandic Olympic Committee and a little for the Physical Therapy Association and in the Icelandic universities, mostly about training, rehab, and EMG. And after 2010, I found, like many people, that this typical manual therapy work along with physical therapy training was kind of not enough for me. That's why I started working on creating a training platform so I could help more people all around Iceland, as I'm actually located in the north, not in the capital. So I see people from various places. So I had to find some tool to help me reach broader patients. Since I've been specializing in certain injuries like ACL, shoulders, and hips, that I get patients from various locations from specific doctors. So that's why I went into changing my work approach a little bit. Yeah, so that's maybe the main thing. Yeah, graduate. Yeah. And after kind of working in this typical physical therapy environment, I went to Scotland and studied biomechanics in 2014. And kind of after that, I started more interest in teaching, and I found a need for helping younger physios and strength trainers and sport trainers to be what's really called up to date in science and training. Maybe that's the first thing to start with.
Mm-hmm. So you have a very strong theoretical background, but I would say that the web-based education, specifically for physical therapy, might be slightly a different way of teaching. So what inspired you to actually go into that route? Like, why specifically web-based teaching in physical therapy?
Well, as I'm actually not at the moment, I'm on the board of the post-graduation committee for Physical Therapy Association. And we run courses for getting many famous physical therapists to Iceland to teach, but that's only one weekend, and they just come and go. Very few people can access the courses. So as a new area of all this digital world, I found that by making some online teaching that people can watch it whenever they can in the evening or during weekends, and you have no borders for wherever you live in Iceland, and the cost is less. And maybe what you do was when you create something online, it lives and you can use it again. So there are so many, kind of adjusting to the new opportunities in teaching because of all the phones and apps and softwares we have today.
Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that traditional in-person training is slightly different than online training. How does your experience in in-person training shape the way how you structure specifically online courses?
Maybe the difference is not so great. Maybe you have to be more kind of creative when you're explaining things. You need to need some videos maybe to show people how you examine, like motor patterns and things like that, using phones and cameras. But the main teaching method is the same, teaching people how to analyze movements, try to find the causes of pain, and trying to people to see how they can use all kinds of training, IFRC release and postural control and correcting these issues. So maybe the teaching is not so totally different, but like you said, it's a little bit tricky but if you're trying to show and teach some manual therapy things.
So what would you say are the biggest benefits of teaching a course online, and what topics are best suited specifically for this line of teaching?
Yeah, my area, I would say, is sports injuries, rehab, orthopedics, and injury prevention, I would say. So that's my area. I would say probably that's, for myself, the best one. But of course, I guess in any kind of rehab, online teaching is a possibility. It's of course an addition to normal courses people take on take by being on site, but there are so many benefits, because like I said, people have to travel. It's only one weekend. We have a limited number of patients who can be on a course on site, and yeah, and also you have this possibility of, after the online corner, you can even still be adding material, extra additional material, and the course participants through the web we use, they can, you know, kind of communicate longer, and you can speak to them as a group even after the course. Mm-hmm. So, and then we can build on that to maybe some deeper issues. So yeah, so the benefits, maybe the, like in Iceland, it's a distance. People have to travel to courses. It's expensive, and you have limited numbers. So online is going to be definitely the future. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, it's not going to take the place of the other courses, but it's a really great addition.
Yep. I think having a blended learning, like if you have a manual therapy course, showing the manual techniques in person, and then handling the theory in an online version, is quite effective way to go about online education. And also, as you mentioned, and also what we have talked in the previous podcast about with Einar, you guys run a PT exercise platform, and the education platform is an add-on that you have for the exercise platform. What are like the main features that you have specifically on the educational platform that is available for the users?
Available. So it's kind of maybe like you like in my clinic, or it can be a treating patient wherever he lives, whether it comes to the clinic or not, then he will always get a program for his training. It's a combination of, you know, my physical release, some stretches, and the strength exercises. But maybe you need to learn a little bit about the more causes and what makes you worse and things like that, and maybe a little bit about the, like this ACL, a little bit about the healing mm-hmm. process, healing of the intervertebral disc if you're a back patient. Then it's very simple to create a group. Like I could, in my clinic, I can create a group I call back patients, so where I can always add some, what's it like, teaching and educational material. And then it's, since it's are kind of linked together, it's easy to add that person. It's not just a patient getting a program, it's also a learner, kind of. So he gets this availability of some teaching material, and it's always going to be on the same platform. It's not just sending emails or messages, it's just everything is on the same platform. So people have access to, yeah, you can easy to put in some education, because education is the main thing in physical therapy. Actually, people need to know what to do, why am I doing it, what am I doing that makes me worse. So the people have to be, what's, you know, the more specific and educated you are about your own problems, it's much more likely that you can manage it by yourself and be kind of taking a responsibility in your rehab. So what I found, the more people know and what to do, the more ways, and then they are more compliant in doing the training. So instead of just talking to somebody in the clinic for 10 minutes, I'm trying to explain mm-hmm. some problems, you can also sending links to some, you know, research or things like that. So I think it's a great addition, both for the physical therapist and the patient.
Mm-hmm. So you can also send basically the information which is on the educational platform to the patient itself. So will it also be suited for the patient or mainly for the physical therapist?
Yeah.
For both. Okay.
Yeah, so, it's really helpful for both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As it is of now, what kind of courses are available on the platform and what do you plan to add to the educational platform? What about what topics?
Well, as for myself, I actually, like I said, I specialized in orthopedics and I did a few years back, I had courses about the hip, the lower limb and knee, especially for the Icelandic Physical Therapy Association, actually in Icelandic. So what I'm doing is trying to convert them to English. I'm going to put in a specific lecture about femoral acetabular impingement, as I had a lecture for the orthopedic surgeon society of Scandinavia a few years back. So it's going to be the main topics like hip, knee, ankle, and then specific like impingement or is the OA. And I've also been teaching on Iceland on few platforms, both for physical therapists, but also for kind of athletic trainers about the shoulder. So very soon we can have this main topics. And then we plan to add the most important things like low back and cervical pain. And yeah, so we can easily adjust and keep all our courses there. So the biggest orthopedic problems. So we're going to be more in orthopedics and sports rehab in the future.
Mm-hmm. Will you also offer any hands-on courses on that platform? And if yes, how will you handle the practical part of it?
Well, these are the things I can say maybe is kind of on works in progress. So like mm-hmm. myself and Einar, we've been teaching, like I said, to Icelandic physical therapists. And at that point, we're not having any hands-on courses, you know, abroad. But I plan to start having actually hands-on courses in Iceland so I can travel like anybody else. And maybe we'll add some more teachers to our group, and then that would also be an availability in the future. Because I found actually, although we come from the small country of Iceland, like when I lived in Scotland, for example, there were a lot of orthopedic surgeons from, let's say, from India, for example, and people from Spain. And I actually found that, like myself, having taken a lot of courses in America and UK, that I think we have really broad knowledge and we can actually be really, yeah, we can help young physical therapists in many countries that where the basic training and maybe availability to courses is not as great as in Iceland.
Mm-hmm. The e-learning aspect of education makes it very, very accessible. But I imagine to actually access the course, you would need some form of technology. Like, what would you recommend to being able to use the platform? What would the person need, like a phone? What would you need to actually use the platform? You need a desktop, you need to download an app. Like, is it easy to use?
Yeah, it's very easy. You know, when I'm creating a learner on the system, and they can either have it separate or as a group, that actually they will just be sent in. They will get an email with a temporary password. They get this copy, and then there's a very simple way, and it's the same system as with the training app and or web. And then they just create their own passwords, and then there are on the training and on the educational web. They're on online. They're not in an app, so they use their the email they get. And then I will get information that they have logged in, and then I can see they are active and they've accessed the course or the teaching material. So mm-hmm. And that's a good. I can actually see who is doing the learning, same as with the training. The training app, if people do some exercise on the app and they just click finish, then there's a counter I can see in my top corner of my screen that actually this person is finishing this specific rehab or he's reading this material. So, so it's really helpful. Also, you can see who is doing what and who is not active in either teaching or training. So it goes kind of hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way to personalize the learning experience? Because I can imagine that certain physical therapists have different skill levels and also different goals on the platform.
Yeah, maybe that's a little bit tricky because like you put in some PDF or some slides, maybe in the future it would be have it as a, kind of a basic course and then advanced. So if people are just want to learn a little bit about, let's say, the shoulder, but not going too deep, they can just take the basic. Like I've been teaching, like I said earlier, for the Icelandic Olympic Committee for, sports trainers and also for athletic trainers. And I'm using maybe the same, trying to teach in the understanding where, let's say, handball players are getting shoulder injuries, but I'm not going as deep into pathology like I do with a physical therapist. So you can maybe grade the teaching material as basic, medium, or advanced. Maybe that's the only way to personalize it, I would say.
And since you have offered also similar courses or offerings before, what are the common challenges that physical therapists face while having an online education for them?
Well, I would say it's the same challenges with all education, that people need to find time to really dedicate to learn what they're trying to study. And what I actually found, very often people go to courses for 1 or 2 days and then get a booklet that goes into the shelf and then they just don't read it again. And then kind of after some weeks from that course, it kind of the education you got, it fades out. But when it's online, you have to kind of think about I'm a student that for next week, I'm going to be reading this material. I'm going to look in at this video. And then maybe if there's somebody else in my clinic, I need to find with a collaborative person who's also interested in, let's say, in shoulder rehab, and then we play together with the hands-on technique we see, try the exercises on yourself. So maybe the main challenge is trying to be focused and trying to learn and remember, because like in teaching, we have to do things again, and that's also the benefits of having things online. That's easy to go back into the material and check and read again. So but there's a lot of things that mean to really focus, because nowadays, let's say young physical therapists, there's so much going on. There is Instagram and family and, all kind of social media stuff that takes a lot of time. And then of course you have to work. So the main thing is to really dive into the material and give yourself a time to learn.
Mm-hmm. So I can imagine that also a motivation plays a big role for the student to actually finish the course. Is there any ways to improve motivation, to keep the student motivated to actually continue and find the time and finish the course?
Well, actually what I found is I'm also working for the University of Iceland as a teacher, and I'm taking maybe twice a year young student physical therapist to work in my clinic, and then I'm their kind of guide. And I actually found there is really a need for improved, especially training and understanding of exercises in athletes with what I see with the young physical therapist. So I think it's really a need for having an more kind of another platform. So issues than just teaching, you know, while people are with you. So I think this is an addition to that. So people can always, you know, let's say, go online and check, and you can support them through the training web.
So I can imagine that the platform also has some features that actually fosters completion of the course. For example, when you have completed one module of a certain topic, then you will get reminders by email to complete the second one, or you get motivated by completing the course and then getting a certificate or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's like I've been teaching. I used to be teaching, let's say, for other companies in Iceland and or companies or groups, and let's say they were all. I used to use things like Canvas or something called Moodle. I think it's an Icelandic one, and mm-hmm. I found them to be a little bit complicated. But this one is very simple, and when you're creating a group invite a patient into the group of or a physical therapist to a course, we can, when you create a course, we can choose if it's how it looks from the point of view of the student itself, and mm-hmm. there is more, you know, you can have one that's a more, you know, supported, and you can also add co-teacher to that and having the learning progress visualized. But I've not been sending email, but I think that's or you know, kind of supporting things to reminders. But I think that mm-hmm. can easily be added, because actually this training platform we used, it was originally made by an Icelandic company for teachers of for children with speech difficulties, actually, mm-hmm. in the beginning. And because there, when it's small towns in Iceland, you have not that specific teacher, so maybe a teacher in the capital could get to a lot of kids and give them some learning material. And then mm-hmm. we actually adjusted it to our needs. So you can, yeah, so you can have a support and add teachers and visualize the progress, but I'm not quite sure if people are getting some reminders. But that's something, you know, the teacher can do. It needs to go on his site, and he can actually, you know, do things like that. But it doesn't happen automatically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So all about the teacher, how efficient he is about having these reminders and support.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way to foster the communication between student and teacher, or between student and student? Is there any ways on the platform to do that?
To communicate?
Like, if you have an online course, then it's mostly very frontal teaching, where you speak to the student and you don't see how they're reacting.
Yeah.
But is there any way to actually overcome that? How can you communicate within the platform?
Yeah, you mean while you're teaching?
While you're teaching and after the teaching?
Yeah, well, while you're teaching, it's going to be more like then it may be, if you want, it's a two things. Like I've been using it now, it's more like I put the teaching material in, and then sometimes in addition to on-site courses, but if it's just online, then people have access to the lecture, and then they can have access to the additional material. But if it's going to be, like you said, live, then we have to start using some kind of another things, like some, what's it called, you know, for visual things. So that's something we have to record live, but now it's more of a PDF or PowerPoint slides, and then some material, but it's not at this moment kind of a webinar or something where people can, it's going to be, you know, you can view the speaker and then the slides. And that's mm-hmm. the addition we're going to be working on, hopefully, in the future.
Mm-hmm. And does the platform has like a community feature where you as a student can also interact with other students?
Well, there is always the kind of, they're not directly talking to another student, but if there is a, if a student asks a question to the teacher, then the teacher can choose if he wants the question to be public so the other can see it, or just have it kind of specific if you don't want the other to see. So there's a, you have both options. They're not directly talking to each other, but it's always through the platform. And if they wanna be visible,
mm-hmm.
so it's more, but still it's focused in more on teacher to student than student to student.
Mm-hmm. So, looking into the future, where do you see specifically online education within the physical therapy realm? Do you think it will be greater and more of a topic, or where do you think it will is heading?
Yeah, I think like in anything today, we are always getting more online because people kind of seems to be like they need to be in charge of their own time. So I think it's going to be increasing. And I also found, and maybe one of the reasons I went into this area was that I've been working with manual therapy and training for 20, 30 years. I kind of found that actually physical therapists are always trying to be some fixer, somebody trying mm-hmm. to fix some problems. But as older I get and more experience, I found that teaching both the patients and trying to help young physical therapists to be kind of speed up sooner, getting this knowledge and the hands-on techniques good, and they improve much quicker. So I think online is going to be something that's just going to be growing, just to, and we're going to be get some new techniques out to maybe have some videos, and we can also Instagram and things like that. But these platforms are more for the, you put on one video and then it just goes. But it's kind of, this is going to be something that can kind of grow like a tree. You start adding things, and if you like in my clinic, we are a very large clinic of 20 physical therapists, and I had few lectures for the other physical therapists last year. Recently we had 3 new physical therapists in the clinic, and then I just added them into the group. So although they were not with us last year, they have access to all the lectures we had last year. So it's much easier to grow in that direction and add material, use new software and things like that, than just using the old version where people just worked and then went for a 1 weekend course twice a year. So I think online and using the old, yeah, kind of using the tech issues as your friend and trying to adjust it to your needs. I think that then, it's going to be growing in the future a lot.
Yeah. Now we have come to the end of the podcast. Is there something that you would like to tell aspiring physical therapists as it is of now, as a advice on how they should develop their skills further?
Well, like I said, probably people kind of can't, I call it a 10-year issue. Let's say I graduated in 1990 and I work as a teaching a little bit, working as in my clinic, heavy days. Kind of after 10 years, I found this working, every patient, every 30 minutes got really tiresome. Then I needed something more. Then I did like some studies in America about manual therapy. After doing that for 5-6 years, I found it's really tiring, all this hands-on treatment and not the solution for the future and whatever you read about physical therapy and public health, it's much more about getting people active, trying to health and change their lifestyles and things like that. And that's what I found after working like that. 5 years later, I went to Scotland and started working with studying more biomechanics, trying to find the right exercises using EMG. And now, 5 years later, I found actually, well, I've been doing that, I'm better, but I still my minds and interest always go into this teaching more. And so it's a kind of evolution. So I think anybody who's been working like 30, 40 years in physical therapy looks back and then he sees when he's starting to educate more both physical therapists or clients and be more holistic approach. You can see what you learned in school, focusing on some massage, ultrasound, manipulations. This is kind of old school physical therapy. You can use it as a part of your treatment, but the focus nowadays is more about getting people to be responsible for the problems, health, and to, you know, work with their issues and improve their health and the holistic approach. It's much more better. So teaching and having some platforms for that is something that's going to be young physical that has to look at, because I think the physical therapy profession is kind of evolving. It's changing a lot over the last, especially 5 or 6 years. People are seeing much more importance in helping people to kind of treat your own pain or learn how to work with it and do the right thing for the future, not just you come, I have a sore neck pain, I go to a physical therapy 5 sessions and then I just live with it, or, you know, because people has to learn about much more about themselves. And physical therapists, after graduation, they had to be working a lot of online lectures if they want to improve, because there's a lot of room for improvement after graduation, I think.
Yes, I fully agree. I think specifically in our profession, it is a lifelong learning. So you should never stop looking into new things, learning new things, since if you don't, then the treatment and the results also will be moderate with the patients that we treat. Thank you so much, Stefan, for your time and your expertise. I hope that the listeners
It's been a pleasure.
Liked the podcast and will be also tuning on the next podcast that will be published by the end of this week. Thank you so much and see you next time.